tasting bhakti ras and manjivad sadhana. So at a particular point we were discussing from Manjri Bhav Sarupana. It's about how is it the Manjris who don't even touch Krishna, how can they be considered to be amorous lovers of Krishna? Amorous lovers means they're stai rati, their permanent mood of loving relationship for Krishna is like Radharani and like Lalita Vishakha. So this is a discussion presented by Kunjabihari Goswami, excuse me, Kunjabihari Das Babaji Maharaj, quoting different shastras, to show how the Manjris are experiencing amorous love with Krishna and how they fit the category of Madhura, the Stairati of Madhura. So he says, the nature of Madhura Ras is that the gopis want to please Krishna by offering their own bodies for Krishna's happiness. According to we can understand that the gopis, like Radharani, Vishakha, Lalita, they serve Krishna by directly offering their bodies to him. That is your qualification for being in Madhura Ras. The Manjris, on the other hand, are not enthusiastic about such service. They never contemplate such a possibility, even in their dreams. In other words, the Manjris don't even dream about kissing Krishna, embracing Krishna. It's hard to imagine. So the person you don't want to touch, you don't want to kiss or embrace, how do you have an amorous relationship with him? This is an interesting question. So they never contemplate. So the question may be asked, if there is no possibility of romance, there is no possibility of Madhura Ras or romance without physical intimacy, how can the brother-sister mood of the Manjris be called Kamarup Bhakti or Madhura Rati? The answer to this question should be said that the object of the Manjri's affection is Radha and Krishna together. The affection of Manjri's power of sight and the thirst of their eyes is to see Radha and Krishna locked in a loving embrace. The craving of the ears of the Manjri's, what they want to hear. They want to hear the sweet murmuring love conversations of Radha and Krishna. This is the fulfillment of their sense of hearing. Desire of the tongues of the Manjris is to relish the tambo and prasad that was touched by the lips of Radha and Krishna. In this way, their sense of taste attains perfection. Similarly, the sweet fragrance that arises from Radha and Krishna's union is the subject craved by the noses, by the sense of smell, and the fulfillment of the sense of smell of the Manjris. The sense of touch, sparsha, finds fulfillment when the Manjris massage the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna and their bodies. This is the only object of their sense of touch. In this way, it can be said that the four types of sambhog means romantic or amorous union, enjoyment of Radha and Krishna and gopis, which means by what Shiva Goswami says, sambhog by seeing the beloved, by talking to the beloved, by touching and by having union. The first three are present to the Manjris to some extent. But how do they experience union with Krishna? It's called samprayog. This is explaining Govinda Lilamrita how the Manjris experience union with Krishna. Krishna's pleasure-giving potency is personified in Radharani, who is like a premlata, creeper of love, and whose fruits of this creeper are prema. The sakis of Radharani are like branches, leaves, and flowers, which expand from her very self and are equal to Radharani. For this reason, that winding creeper of love, premlata, when that premlata is enjoyed by Krishna's sporting activities, the leaves and flowers find hundreds of times more pleasure than if they themselves were enjoyed directly by Krishna. The love of Radharani and Krishna, although very elevated and self-manifest and joyful by nature, does not find fulfillment for even a moment without the presence of the sakis and mandris. This is an amazing point. It's prevalent in the souls of these states in Vrindavan Mahimamrita. The pleasure of the eyes of the sakis is felt by seeing Radha merged in the ocean of love for Krishna. There's another sentence from Govinda Lilamrita, chapter 11, verse 137. It describes the vicarious pleasure of the mandris. It means that the mandris are enjoying, by seeing Radharani enjoying with Krishna, the mandris also experience it. Let's go vicarious. Not directly, you want to have a loving relationship with some man. So, but you don't have one. you don't have a man. But you see across the you're in an apartment house, another apartment across the way, it's the guy and the girl are lying on a bed, enjoying embracing and kissing. They're looking and say, well, you're enjoying that. That's what movies are all about. Guys who can't get a girlfriend, or can't get married, or are afraid to get married, they go to watch love movies to get happiness that way. It's a type of indirect pleasure. You know, because ultimately all pleasure is indirect anyway. Because the body is one place, and the mind is where the pleasure is experienced, in the mind, not the body. You take anesthesia and separate the mind from the body. Your body can do all kinds of pleasurable things. You won't experience anything. Just like your body can experience all kinds of painful things, like drilling your teeth and pulling out your teeth. But you're on anesthesia, so you're sleeping, you don't feel anything. Do you feel that? You don't feel anything. Because the mind is an agent of feeling. So, if Krishna touches Radharani, the sakis start to tremble and sweat, and their body hairs stand on end, and tears go in their eyes. When Krishna kisses Radharani, the sakis and mandris become intoxicated as if they themselves are getting kissed. That's a really good way to get intoxicated. You just go down to the park and watch the bums drink whiskey. Get intoxicated. Oh, wow. You know, you touch a drop, but you get intoxicated. So it's not a very good comparison. But this is described in Govinda Lilamrita. When Radharani is unhappy and crying in separation from Krishna, then the mandris also are crying in separation from Krishna. And there's a comment, the same thing. When Krishna touches and kisses Radharani, the effects of trembling and ecstasy are felt in the bodies of the sakis and mandris. Pretty amazing. Kavi Karnapur explains in Krishnaika Kamuni. The Manjis and Sekhis Rarani reflect every mood of Rarani, whether happy or sad. When tears fall from Rarani's eyes, the Manjis also cry. And when Rarani feels excited, the Manjis also feel excited. When Rarani laughs, they also laugh. When you become depressed, they also become depressed. Krishna Bhavanamrita Vishnu Chakravarti explains. When Rarani's Manjis can't remain living if they don't see the pastimes of Radha Krishna. With great eagerness, the Manjis stand by the windows of the Kunja and look inside to see Radha Krishna locked in embrace. And one of the Manjis says to another one, says, what an amazing, wonderful situation they've gotten themselves into. Krishna is romantic love personified. He has appeared as Rasaraj to attract the minds of everyone in the universe, including his very self. Srimati Radharani is personification of Mahabhav. She is the embodiment of Prem. Not only are Radha and Krishna transcendental, but the Sekhis and Manjis are also described. Krishna Bhavanamrita describes. The Manjis of Rarani are unexcelled in beauty. They have boundless beauty, the Manjis. Each Manjri is expansion of Rarani's expertise and loving dalliance. Even Manjri, every Manjri is competent and qualified herself to be a competitor for Krishna's love. But such desires do not enter their minds even for a moment, because the Manjris are completely desireless. In this way, the Manjris eternally dive in the ambrosial sea of service to Rarani. As Radharani's affection is not separate from her identity, its eternal and self-manifest, so too the Sekhis and Manjris have love for Radha and Krishna, which is self-manifest and clearly produced from their very own identities. This is beyond normal experience and thus inconceivable. Those things which are inconceivable are not accessible by the mental capacity, mental facility. The actions of Krishna are transcendental, and the ways and means to understand them are also transcendental. Thus, the unfortunate hear about Radha Krishna, even after hearing about them, they don't develop faith. Because faith, you have to get transcendental, it's called the Lokik Shraddha. You have to get a transcendental faith to understand the transcendental reality of Krishna. Sometimes the Manjris faint from ecstasy they feel by watching the intimate pastimes of Radha Krishna Yuga. It is described by Rupa Goswami's prayer Nikunja Rasya Stava, which most Gaudiya scholars say is not written by Rupa Goswami. It's very simple, rhyming, Sanskrit, very beautiful, but it exceeds the boundaries of what Rupa Goswami would write about in terms of intimacy, and it's not included in his work of Savavala. So Jagananda and other scholars, Nittai Das and Waita Das and others, and many others, they don't accept the Nikunja Rasya Stava, although it has the name Rupa Goswami on it. It was written by Dauji.
I wish.
Yeah. It's a beautiful poem, and all the Goswamis in Vrindavan sing it, and it's very beautiful, rhyming and easy to sing. But anyway, Kunja Vihari Babaji wanted to quote from that. Because for me, there wasn't so much controversy in the atmosphere 100 years ago. That Kali Yuga was 100 years younger. Now, as Kali Yuga was out, more and more controversy, more and more doubts and questions of reality. That's the way it goes. But he says a verse from Nikunja Rasya Stava. Praises of the secrets of the forest bower. O mind, just remember Radha Krishna in the kunjas of Vrindavan. Their sakis are saturated with love. Keep their eyes fixed on looking through the branches of the forest kunja, where they are expanding their work of love in wondrous variety. Overwhelmed in ecstasy, Radha Krishna fall to the ground in his, the sakis and manjaris, overwhelmed in ecstasy by looking around Krishna's love pastimes, faint. That's pretty good. They become, the manjaris and sakis become a nanga. They're watching Kamadeva Sri Krishna. He's becoming a nanga, they become a nanga. Everybody becomes a nanga, except Radharani. She always keeps cool. So this is, because we're describing how the Manjaris have Madhura Rati, this whole discussion here. So now, Kunjari Goswami quotes Ujjala Mani, a famous passage involving Mani Manjari. One day, Radharani arranged for Lilita Vishaka to take Mani Manjari to meet Krishna in private kunj in the forest. Lilita Vishaka tried to persuade and convince the reluctant Manjari. Finally returned to Radharani's side in failure. She then said to her, "Dear friend, you told me to try it, I did. I went to Mani Manjari, I tried to tempt her in many ways. I said, listen Manjari, I don't believe there is any thrill in this universe that can compare with the ecstasy of Krishna's embrace." Okay, that's pretty inviting. You should really try it at least once. Mani Manjari, you should embrace Krishna at least one time. Give it a try. Besides, Lita and other sakis, they're always having love trials with him. Why shouldn't you? Just once. The sakis can act as both friends and occasionally friends of Radharani, and also occasionally as mistresses of Krishna too. There's nothing wrong with it. Why do you be like that too? Otherwise, you become too insignificant. Radharani, after hearing all my arguments, Mani Manjari said to me, "Listen, Saki, when Radharani enjoys pleasure in Krishna's company, I find happiness I feel greater than I could gain by doing anything for myself at all. Therefore," then Vishaka concludes her investigation of the loyalty of Mani Manjari, says, "Therefore, Priyarada, I am completely convinced that this heart of Manjari is entirely pure, because despite all my temptations and clever tricks on my part, Mani Manjari didn't show the slightest urge for going to meet with Krishna." Mani Manjari ki jai. She's a real hero. Hard to imagine, but sometimes Krishna tries to seduce the Manjaris. He meets with similar failure. One day, one of Radharani's sakis was picking flowers to make a garland. Sri Krishna chanced upon there at that time, he proposed to her, "Oh, beautiful one, why don't you perfect your life by spending a few moments with me in this kunja?" The bewildered girl put aside all her feminine tactics and arguments and very simply said to Krishna, be it, Master. "Oh, Govinda, I only have one desire. That you please give me greater intelligence so I can serve you and Radharani in the field of ever-expanding ecstatic romance, so that you and Radharani experience newer and newer bliss. For by that service, unlimited gopis have attained the very limit of the fulfillment of desires. Therefore, O Govinda, my mind never becomes eager for your rejection embrace. It does not crave for such enjoyments. Please just engage me in the service of you and Radharani." So that's it. Good mantra. But there are situations that mantras fail. Well, these numbering us to delight you. This subjective presentation of reality. But that's the way Anathas Babaji presents in his books. The mantras never enjoy the Radharani. That's the way his Guru Maharaj Kundalikari presents here and taught him. And mostly people present it that way. But Vishnu, true to his independent revolutionary spirit, he a lot of times doesn't agree with the Six Goswamis, but he has his way of convincing others to his viewpoints. But he says in Krishna Lamrita that sometimes the Sakis lock the mantras in the kunja, and the only one left in the kunja is Krishna, the mantra, and Cupid. So that side is also there. So I'll leave it up to you to figure out what happens. See what happens when you get there. You learn a lot of Tantric philosophy and try to follow it, but when push comes to shove, we'll see what your philosophy is. How strong your philosophical power is to resist Krishna, the irresistible, attractive, greatest romantic hero in the world. Yeah. So I brought my lip balm with me because my lips are dry out every 5 minutes. So. It's crazy. Okay, that's enough for this for today. Page 42.